Chapter 60, Weaning an Organization Off Roadmaps. Many product teams want to move off product roadmaps, but their organizations are old school, addicted to the outdated quarterly product roadmap. As a result, they don't see how to transition their organizations forward. Here's what I advocate in this case. Plan to continue with your existing roadmap process for 6 to 12 months. However, starting immediately, every time you reference a product roadmap item or discuss it in a presentation or meeting, be sure to include a reminder of the actual business outcome that feature is intended to help. If the feature you're working on is to add PayPal as a payment method, and the reason is to increase conversion, then be sure to always show the current conversion rate and the result you're hoping to achieve. Most important, after the feature goes live, be sure to highlight the impact on that conversion rate. If the impact was good, celebrate it. If the impact was not what was hoped, then emphasize to everyone that while you did ship the feature, the result was not successful. Point out specifically what was learned, but explain that you have other ideas for ways to get the desired result. The goal is that over time, it could take as long as a year, the organization moves its focus from specific features launching on specific dates to business results. For this to work, it's important to acknowledge the two big reasons why stakeholders especially are so attracted to roadmaps. One, they want some visibility into what you are working on and assurance that you are working on the most important items. Two, they want to be able to plan the business and need to know when critical things will happen. The modern alternative to roadmaps discussed here addresses both of these concerns. Teams work on the prioritized business objectives determined by the leaders. We share our key results transparently, and we commit to high-integrity commitments when critical delivery dates are needed. Process at scale. Overview. It is understandable that, as companies grow, they become more risk-averse. When you're small, there really isn't much to lose. But as you get to scale, there is quite a lot on the line. And many people from across the company are there to try to protect those assets. One way companies try to protect what they've achieved is to institute process by formalizing and standardizing how things are done in the name of reducing error or risk. This applies from how we get reimbursed for travel expenses, to how we request a change to a report, to how we discover and deliver product. In many areas, such as expense reporting, it's an irritant, but not likely to make the difference between success and failure of the company. On the other hand, it is all too easy to institute processes that govern how you produce products that can bring innovation to a grinding halt. Nobody does this intentionally, but it happens so frequently in so many companies that I find it quite remarkable. As just one example in the process area, agile methods are generally very conducive to consistent innovation. Yet there are several process consultancies that specialize in agile at scale, which introduce methods and structures intended to scale to large numbers of engineers. Yet there are several process consultancies that specialize in agile at scale, which introduce methods and structures intended to scale to large numbers of engineers, yet which absolutely destroy any hope of innovation. It does not have to be this way. Many of the best product companies in the world are very large companies that have successfully scaled their product and technology organizations. The techniques and methods described here are all about maintaining your ability to consistently innovate as you continue to grow and scale.